Home to all the jaw-dropping moments. Home to all the best plays in the league. Home to your favorite players from the cities you love. MLB.tv is the home of streaming baseball. Get your ticket to out-of-market games live or on demand across all your favorite supported devices. Home or away, you'll be able to catch all the MLB action this season and gain access to exclusive content. MLB Big Inning brings fans a special live look into the game and delivers the best highlights from games every single day.
That is out of the ballpark!
Tune in for select pre- and post-game coverage or check out new MLB originals for a deeper dive into your favorite teams and ballparks. You can even check out inning milestones, in-game details, and personalize your app for your favorite team. MLB.tv has extended their content library for more originals, like vendors and out-of-the-park films. You can find returning shows like MLB Carded, Baseball Zen, and so much more. There's no better place to never miss a moment of the action than with MLB.tv. Stream every game from every team all season long with MLB.tv.
Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Home to all the jaw-dropping moments. Home to all the best plays in the league. Home to your favorite players from the cities you love. MLB.tv is the home of streaming baseball. Home or away, catch all the MLB action this season with live and on-demand content across all your devices. Enjoy MLB Big Inning, select pregame and postgame coverage, and an expanded library of highlights and content. Never miss a moment of the action with MLB.tv. Stream every game from every team all season long with MLB.tv.
Blackout and other restrictions apply.
Little walk down memory lane. Now Bruce Arians is no longer the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but he did get warned because he was jawing at players on the sidelines a couple weeks ago, like he was still the head coach. Still fallout from that Buccaneers battle against the New Orleans Saints. No Mike Evans on Sunday against the Packers. And as I say, Arians warned for his comments and for engaging with players during the game last week. We're going to get to Bucks Packers because that was your national game in the later window. However, it was still a grind for the Buccaneers. And honestly, other than the first half or the first couple of drives, the Packers ran into that Bucks defense and their offense dried up a little bit as well. But the fifth time that Brady and Rodgers have ever been in the same game on the same field at the same time. So obviously a marquee matchup. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. So here's the dealio, yo. We promise you that on the Sunday night into Monday morning, couple of things. We always get to every game. So if we do not get to your game this hour or your storyline that you're most interested in, your headline, well, make sure you go back and check out the podcast, afterhoursamylawrence.com. We share it on both Twitter and Facebook every weekday morning. That way you can get back and hear about the games or the teams or the individuals that you most want to hear about. So this is our Sunday night crazy blitz through all the results, and we're still sifting through week three, and we do have Monday Night Football to come. The Cowboys and Cooper Rush against the 2-0 New York Giants. Will they be the third team to survive week three unscathed? Will they be the second team in the NFC East and the third team in the league to move to 3-0? Because that's it. There's only three left who haven't yet suffered a loss. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on, and here's capitalizing on our other promise, also on this Monday morning, we've got the poll up. It's our new thing. We kind of stumbled into it last week because I was blown away at the embarrassing finishes by a few teams and just some mortifying performances. And so we decided we would start a new poll. Every week at this time, who's waking up on this Monday feeling the most mortification? It's Monday mortification, if you will. We got such a great response with our poll on Twitter and Facebook, we decided we would make it a regular weekly feature, at least until you're bored with it. So on this Monday morning, who's feeling the most miserable mortification? I could do the alliteration all day long. Just stop me when you get tired of it. It doesn't matter because I'll keep doing it. We've given you four candidates in our poll on Twitter. We've also put the names out there on Facebook, and many of you are suggesting your own write-in team, so that's totally fine. That's kind of the idea. There's plenty of misery to go around, so if you got another idea, another team, it's really difficult to narrow it down to just four. It was about to be another miserable, mortified Monday for the Denver Broncos, and still, the offense has got work to do, let's be honest. But it always feels differently after a win. Kind of tends to sugarcoat or help you to swallow some of the negatives that you see on film after the fact. Niners and Broncos in Denver this time for Sunday Night Football. Remember, to start the year, the Broncos were in Seattle for Sunday Night Football. Jimmy Garoppolo, all I saw all week. How much extra money he's making because he's back in the starting lineup again. Yeah, that's kind of the idea behind a contract that is laden with incentives. And early on, he directs a quick 75-yard touchdown drive. Brandon Ayuk hauls in the 3-yard reception. Couple of big chunk plays there. And so he showed off what the offense can do with him directing. There's a lot of wisdom. There's a lot of experience. These guys know him. They're comfortable with him. Meanwhile, the Broncos can do a whole lot of nothing. They had as many 3-and-outs as they had points in the first half. So 3 points on a field goal, 3 3-and-outs. And this is home. Now remember, Nathaniel Hackett, as the head coach, has hired an assistant. His name's Jerry. Jerry is helping him with play calling. Week number 3, and Nathaniel Hackett needs some help with some play calling. So what exactly is Jerry's job?
I wanted to be sure that I was able to be an efficient play caller for Russell in the offense. And so we were able to bring Jerry in, and for the quick time kind of turnaround of getting him here, I thought he was spectacular. You know, he was up there. He was informing me whenever we potentially had fourth downs. And again, he's there because I typically want to be a little more aggressive, and he kind of held me back, especially that 4th and inches. I was very tempted to want to go for that.
It's like the voice in your head. You've got an angel and a devil, one on each shoulder. Is Jerry the angel or the devil on your shoulder?
The devil and Jerry.
It's the voice of Jerry. Oh my gosh. I mean, I can imagine they're having a field day, not a field goal. There was plenty of those. They're having a field day in Denver with this whole thing. It's after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So there really wasn't a whole lot of spark to the offense. I suppose you take points any way that you can possibly get them when they're hard to come by.
Wilson in there as the single back now, lined up 5 yards deep in the end zone. One wide receiver split to the left. Garoppolo under center, takes the snap, play fake, backing up, back of the end zone, nearly stepped out of the end zone, throws, and it's intercepted. It's picked off by Chubb, into the end zone, touchdown.
Quarterback stepped out of the back of the end zone. It is a safety.
They'll say it's a safety that Garoppolo stepped on the end line first. So that'll end up saving the 49ers at least 4, maybe 5 points. Garoppolo was backpedaling and definitely with that right foot stepped on the back line of the end zone, then threw one up to Jeff Wilson, and Bradley Chubb went up high.
It is a safety.
Okay, I'm sorry. I love Ryan. He does a great job on Westwood One, Ryan Radke. But it's almost as if the official got tired of hearing him. It was like, it's a safety.
Bradley Chubb went up high.
It is a safety.
So, yes, it's a safety because Jimmy Garoppolo stepped out of the back of the end zone. The pressure was coming. It was coming. And after he had done his standard drop, he dropped a little more because there were 2 defensive linemen right up in his grill. And so you take the points however you can get them. But for a while there, it was 7-5. 7-5. I mean, there are plenty of baseball games that had more runs for each team on Sunday. It's after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So still no offense really into the fourth quarter. At this point, it's 10-5 when the Broncos are in do or die mode. At home, they're hearing boos again from the crowd. They're counting down the play clock, which I heard. I was actually listening for a while when I was getting ready for work to the Broncos radio network. And along with Dave Logan, who's the play-by-play voice, there is a female sideline reporter. Her name is Susan. I didn't hear her last name. But she talks about how they're being good fans for a while because they're not they've dropped the whole counting down to the play clock, which clearly the Broncos don't want them doing at home. Anyway, Russ is able to kind of settle into a little bit of a rhythm. And if you're watching on TV or listening on the radio, maybe you heard them talk about this is more vintage Russ. There were some deep shots. There were some scrambles to extend plays. There was a scramble when the Red Sea parted in front of him to pick up a first down. And there was a healthy dose of the run game, which is what the Broncos want to do. They want to be able to mix it up and keep their defenses off balance.
Broncos will operate out of the eye. Extra offensive lineman in the game. Saubert, the tight end, goes in motion from left to right. Here's the snap. Handoff, Gordon, left side, into the end zone. Touchdown, Broncos. Melvin Gordon races in from 1 yard out. And with 4:10 remaining, the Broncos lead 11-10, a two-point try coming up.
I mean, that's the whole idea of when it's an ugly game or offenses are playing ugly, but you keep it within one score. If you can pull it together for one drive, it can make all the difference in the world. Now they have the lead. Can they get the lead to three?
Wilson takes the snap, back to pass, looking, fires over the middle, batted down, incomplete. So it remains an 11-10 game. The 49ers now would need just a field goal to take the lead. Javon Kinlaw able to swat that one away. And the Broncos on top by one.
Once again, Ryan Radke and Mike Golick on Westwood One. And there were opportunities for the Niners, but their last two chances, an interception from Jimmy Garoppolo and then a fumble by Jeff Wilson. And the Niners, as much as they had the lead for most of this game, nothing for their offense to get all excited about either. 1 of 10 on third down. 1 of 10, plus 3 turnovers in Denver. So the Broncos find what they need there in the late stages to get the victory and move to 2-1. But similar to, say, the Buccaneers, who we'll talk about coming up, their offense is barely doing enough. It's really more about the defense. There have been some special teams plays, and maybe if you're watching what they're doing at the end of this game, you think, okay, if they can find that rhythm, if Russell Wilson can look that comfortable with the various guys he's got around him, maybe there's some hope moving forward in the AFC West. But they can't keep playing like this because they might only beat the Raiders in their division. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. So exactly how did the Broncos pull this one out?
We went in there, we knew we were going to have to be downhill. We knew that they were a very good defense, and we knew it was going to be just incremental. We knew we were going to have to check the ball down and get some yards after the catch. Those things weren't, you know, happening as well as we wanted them to, but we just kind of try to stay to the state of the plan. We want to be sure we protect the edges because those two rushers that they have are very good, and so we try to get as many people as we could on them. And, you know, the guys just stayed together.
Third quarter was a little shaky, but you know, at the end of the day, it's all about finding a way to win. And that fourth quarter drive, we found a way to, you know, get the ball in the end zone, and that's all that matters.
Cortland Sutton has become a major target for Russell Wilson, and there are others. They've got weapons. They've got guys who can run the ball. We saw them try to mix that up a little bit, and certainly guys who can get downfield. They've got plenty of options offensively, but so far, everything new. New coach, now a new assistant named Jerry. The devil on his shoulder, I'm not really sure. Maybe it's supposed to be the angel on his shoulder. Either way, the Broncos haven't yet found that rhythm for an extended period of time. And George Kittle, as much as the Niners lost this game themselves because they kind of ran dry there in the second half, what he really wants is for the defense to keep doing what they're doing.
Please keep doing that the whole season. I mean, when you have a defense like that, especially, like, we got to practice against them, so, like, we're getting good work against them. They come out, they, you know, bust their tails every single play. I mean, like, I think they had, like, one bad drive where they gave up one touchdown tonight. They gave up 6 points, really, and then we gave up two to them, and they had a field goal. Like, they're playing really well, you know. D-line's playing well. Eric didn't play tonight, but, you know, they still played at a really high level. Linebackers continue to play at a high level. Flanagan came in for Aziz, and I thought he played really well. Our DBs are playing well. Like, as an offense, we have to put more than 10 points on the scoreboard.
Altogether, just a sloppy day. I think we had really one clean drive. Got points off of it, and other than that, the defense really, you know, kept us in that game. But just overall, just a sloppy day. We were just not in rhythm. We started off pretty good too. We I felt like we were in a rhythm early, and then we kind of just got away from it, and I don't know. Things didn't go our way.
The NFC West is, it's strange. The Rams get a victory over the Cardinals in the desert on Sunday because that's what they do. They've won 11 of 12 against Arizona. But every other team in that division is 1-2. And I know it's going to be a war of attrition. And initially there are some changes there, right? The Niners thought they were going to have Trey Lance at quarterback. They can adjust back to Jimmy Garoppolo, but this is not the game plan. The Seahawks, well, they've got, say, a new quarterback in Geno Smith, but they've got a lot of new parts and new pieces. The Cardinals have a lot of new money for Kyler Murray, if that helps. It didn't on Sunday. And the Rams, as the Super Bowl champions, they obviously have a really stout defense. It's weird. So far, it feels like every team in that division has taken some turn in the Twilight Zone. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And you can't really figure out what's happening. Although I will say, that's pretty much every team, at least in stretches, in the first month of the season. It really is a race to consistency. And some teams get there more quickly than others. For the Seahawks, I thought they were headed for their second win of the year against the Atlanta Falcons. This was actually a really good battle. It was a lot of fun to watch those two teams go back and forth. And early on in this game, Geno Smith was throwing darts. He was firing the ball in. He and DK Metcalf have come up with quite a nice connection. But Atlanta was able to really rely on Cordell Patterson. They actually had 179 total rushing yards, so controlling the ball a little more. And Cordarrelle had 141 plus a score. The go-ahead touchdown for the Atlanta Falcons comes end of the third quarter. Drake London with a 14-yard touchdown grab, but really that was Cordarrelle. He had a 40-yard run in there. He had another run that nearly went 20 yards. And so the Falcons take the lead at the end of the third quarter, and there are opportunities still for Seattle. They get the ball back with just over 5 minutes to go. They move it into Atlanta territory, but there's this massive sack on third down, huge. And this is one big change for the Atlanta Falcons. They're getting more pressure on opposing quarterbacks. We're seeing them with that defensive pressure. I think they have more sacks this year already than they had all of last year. The way that they're able to kind of force the issue has been impressive. In stretches, not all the time, but they're getting it. So they get this huge sack on third down. They push the Seahawks back 10 yards. And so at this point now, Geno Smith is looking for something, anything, to try to keep the line moving.
Fourth down and 18 at the 38. Snap, Smith drops back. Atlanta trying to get there. Here's Geno to his right. Gonna throw downfield, intercepted. Richie Grant's got this one. 15, slides down, 19-yard line. Richie Grant comes up with his first career interception.
How about that? Falcons radio with 90 seconds to go. Richie Grant able to preserve the first win of the year for Marcus Mariota, Arthur Smith, and the Falcons.
Oh, huge, huge. You know, to start 0-2 is always tough. You kind of dig yourself in a little bit of a hole. But it says a lot about our guys, their ability to bounce back, and that was a huge win for us.
Hats off to them. It's a resilient group, and we were out here all week, and we're able to get that win. It was a really, really great effort by our players and staff, and really our whole football staff. I want to thank them, and I'm not going to sit here and name every single person, but there's a lot that went into this trip, and very grateful.
So Falcons leave the Pacific Northwest with their first victory of the year. They weren't the only team to pick up their first win of the year. In fact, in their own division, the Panthers finally get off the schneid. And Baker Mayfield's Panthers, Matt Rhule's Panthers, they snap a 9-game losing skid and pick up a win. And there were others, though not the Raiders. The Raiders and the Titans were in a battle between 0-4 teams. And it was the Titans that led from wire to wire in that one. So we're going to cram in as much as we can between now and the top of the hour. But we promised you Bucks and Packers in all of its glory from Sunday afternoon. Which team is waking up on Monday with the most misery and mortification? You can take that poll on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. I just got this tweet. I'd like to write in my own team, the Washington Commanders. I have to tell you these stats again if you didn't see the finished product. The Eagles sacked Carson Wentz 9 times. They hit him another 17 times. So 17 recorded QB hits. And there's also a takeaway in there. Just overwhelming. And yes, the Eagles move to 3-0. But are they the best team in the NFL? That's also a tough question after week 3. Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lauren.
Forget front row seats. We're taking you into the action on the field and in the dugout with season 2 of Play Loud. Follow some of the league's biggest stars as we mic them up and get the cameras rolling during some of the hottest matchups of the season. Catch real-time reactions from Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor in the field and catch all the hilarious conversations between players off the field with unprecedented access. Watch episodes of Play Loud at youtube.com/MLB. Play Loud brings you baseball like you've never seen before.
Get into all the Major League Baseball action with Season 2 of Play Loud, exclusively on the MLB YouTube channel. Forget front row seats. We're taking you into the game on the field and in the dugout during some of the hottest matchups of the season. Follow along and be part of the fun alongside some of the league's biggest stars as we mic them up and get the cameras rolling during some of the hottest matchups of the season.
That is out of the ballpark!
Catch real-time reactions from Juan Soto in the field or listen in on the hilarious conversation between Eduardo Escobar and Francisco Lindor in the dugout. Tune in for live reactions from players across the league with unprecedented access. Play Loud is your exclusive look into the fun of the game. You never know what you're going to see or hear. Play Loud. It's baseball like you've never watched before. Tune in for new episodes of Play Loud, only on the MLB YouTube channel.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Baseball is everywhere you are this season with the MLB app. Enjoy the show from wherever you are when you download the free MLB app to your mobile device. Never miss a second of the action with coverage of in-game highlights, pitch-by-pitch features, select live broadcast coverage, and more. Show support for your favorite team with customizable MLB club-branded icons. And tune in to exclusive premium content for every team in the league.
That is out of the ballpark!
The MLB app is your ticket to all things baseball all the time. You can even get live notifications sent to your phone, watch, and car, so you're always up to date on the biggest breaking news, scores, and standings. The MLB app is your hub for live baseball everywhere you go. The number one source of live baseball on your Apple and Android devices is the official app of Major League Baseball. Download the MLB app today on the Apple App Store or Google Play.
Additional subscriptions may be required. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
¿No se merece tu familia lo mejor? Entonces, ¿por qué no los mejores huevos? Ahora, Eggland's Best están disponibles en deliciosas opciones. Huevos clásicos, de gallina libre de jaula y orgánicos de Eggland's, que ofrecen un sabor más delicioso y fresco de granja que le encantará a tu familia. En comparación con los huevos ordinarios, Eggland's Best contiene la mejor nutrición como 6 veces más vitamina D, 10 veces más vitamina E y el doble de omega 3 y B12. Solo Eggland's Best. Mejor sabor, mejor nutrición, mejores huevos. Visita egglandsbest.com para más información.
It's on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It is third down and goal from the 1. 18 seconds left. Brady in the shotgun set now. No timeouts. Gage, Darlin, and Perriman. Receivers to the right. Brady takes the snap. Looks, dumps the ball. Caught! Is it caught? Is it caught?
Yeah, it's caught ball by Gage. And he took a big shot. He's a little slow getting up.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay.
Really,
he took a violent shot.
He did.
Here are the Buccaneers to the line of scrimmage. Slot left, slot right. Motion by Gage, snap to Brady. Brady looking, waiting, scrambles right, throws end zone, tipped up into the air. It is incomplete.
Over.
It is incomplete. Devon Ray Campbell tipped it up into the air in the right side of the end zone. And there is your dagger. The Packers defense finally gets the stop. Wow. What dramatics. Turning back. The best to ever do it. and seal this win for the Green Bay Packers. Wow.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Initially, the Packers were locked in on offense. And then after an Aaron Jones fumble near the goal line, that was their first giveaway. It seemed like then they never quite found that rhythm again. But they did build a lead initially. And because the Bucs have also scuffled on offense mightily going back to the beginning of the season, now they have three offensive touchdowns. And that includes the one that you heard to Russell Gage with 14 seconds to go against the Packers at home on Sunday afternoon. So this was yet another dogfight because the Buccaneers really can't get a whole lot going on offense. And if they do one drive, well, then it disappears on the next drive. So the Packers were up most of this game. Actually, the Packers were up all of this game, right? Because that failed two-point conversion. Gene Deckerhoff had the call of the touchdown on Bucs radio, and then Wayne Larrivee and company on Packers radio. It's the part that has to drive you nuts if you're Brady or if you're a coach is that they barely avoid a delay of game penalty on the touchdown. But then on the two-point conversion, they're up close. They have a lot of different options. And they get a delay of game penalty on that snap and have to back up 5 yards, which makes it infinitely more challenging. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So Aaron Rodgers, couple of touchdowns, both of them coming early, 255 yards, and then an interception. And honestly, the Packers offense, as they say, kind of dissipated there in the second half, but they get the win on the road and move to 2-1.
It is week 3. Feels good, for sure. Could be some tiebreaker stuff down the line when you beat a team like this, but it's just week 3. With the Bears won and the Vikings won, so there's 3 2-1 teams in the NFC North.
It was a great, great win for us. Obviously, there's a lot of things that we need to clean up, but I think anytime you hold a team like that to 12 points, you got a chance at winning.
And the Buccaneers were without Mike Evans because he was suspended. No Julio Jones. We found out before the game that he actually has, I think it's a sprained MCL, but he's out for an extended period of time. They're still dealing with the injuries to Chris Godwin and others. And so Russell Gage, step on up. Cole Beasley. Did you hear the story? And I know that it was on the broadcast of this game on Fox, but it was also out there on social last week that Cole Beasley sent a DM to Tom Brady to say, hey, I'm available if you need a receiver. Ew. Well, I only say ew because of how Aaron Andrews phrased it, that Cole Beasley slid into Tom Brady's DMs, and that creeps me out. Blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, the way she phrased it made me say ew. But how about that? Cole Beasley, opportunistic, and there he is in the first quarter catching passes. But yeah, the Bucs are down a few guys. And so they could say, well, that's one of the reasons why offense is a little harder to come by. But come on, we've seen this now for 3 games in which they've had a grand total of 1 offensive touchdown each time out.
I think you'd always, you know, rather play with your with the guys that are, you know, your top players on your team. And but they're not, you know, they're not playing with a lot of their top guys either. So the guys went in there, they fought hard. We just too many mistakes, even if, you know, I don't know, it looked to me we had a chance to make a lot of plays and we didn't. Doesn't matter really, you know, the guys that were in there, some of the guys did a great job with their opportunities and we just got to keep doing it. So we're 2-1. There's a lot of football left. We'll keep working at it. And doesn't get easier next week going up against Chiefs, but, you know, no one feels sorry for us, nor should we. We just got to go back to work.
You really don't take any positives out of a loss, but a loss, but you grow from it. We can be tough and we can fight, but that's not going to win us the ball game. We got to be cleaner.
Todd Bowles, no positives to take out of this at all. All right, we can be tough, we can fight, but that doesn't count for a W in the standings.
Any positives.
the lack of offense for the Bucs catching up with them in this one against Green Bay. So, yes, Aaron Rodgers points out, Three of the teams in the NFC North are now at 2-1. The Vikings, they have a late rally against the Lions. And I asked this question on Twitter, whether or not anybody, just anybody, one person in the crowd, anybody in the peanut gallery, giving Kirk Cousins a little bit of credit for the rally against the Lions. You'll hear that coming up. And the Bears in a last second win against the Texans. Oh, but boy, Justin Fields, the numbers, the performance, the offense. But I mean, it was rough. So who's suffering from the most Monday mortification? You can check out that poll on Twitter, A Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Line, right to left for the Houston Texans. With 1:16 to go, clock running. Fourth quarter at Soldier, tied at 20. Snap back to Mills. Passes tipped, intercepted in the hands of Roquan Smith. Tripped up by Mills at the 12. Do a dance, baby. Do a dance. The tip pass into the hands of Roquan Smith on the near side. On the 31st pass attempt of the day, it's picked off. Bears defense turns him over. Trenton Gill, the rookie holder, awaits the snap. Sends it over.
Good jump.
Snap down. Kick up by Cairo Santos. It is good for the win. Time expires. 23-20 Bears. Cairo Santos, a chip shot from 30, gets it done, but only because of Roquan Smith swiping that tip pass from Angelo Blackson, returning it and setting up shop for the Bears.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours. It's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Jeff Joniak on Bears Radio, and yes, Roquan Smith with the interception just over a minute to go against the Texans at Soldier Field, and it sets up Cairo Santos for that 30-yard walk-off kick. But if you know anything about this game at all, other than the fact that the Bears won, you know, you need to know that Khalil Herbert had 20 carries for 157 yards. And a pair of touchdowns. This was the Khalil Herbert game. Let's hope a star is born, because I say it all the time, the Bears desperately need to be able to establish the run. So for them to get the win is huge, but there are still a lot of questions and a lot of criticisms of Justin Fields. 8 of 17, 106 yards. I mean, Khalil Herbert had more yards than he did. He had a couple of interceptions, and he was sacked 5 times.
I just think that is when you're working with a young quarterback in a new offense, I think that the people around him have to be solid and have to be good. So that's important for us, meaning that the protection has to be good, the run game has to be good, the defense has to be really good, okay? And special teams, we got to be awesome.
That's Matt Eberflus protecting his young QB. But Justin Fields has definitely struggled, even as they try to learn a new system. I feel like Matt is saying the same as what we heard from Robert Saleh over and over and over again in Zach Wilson's first season. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So the Bears moved to 2-1. We know the Packers were at 2-1. It was the Vikings hosting the Lions on Sunday. And early on, this is actually a really competitive game. It was tied at 14 at halftime. Adam Thielen with his first TD. Dalvin Cook was running all over the place. But then he devolved into the second half. Dalvin Cook with a fumble. And he also leaves the game with a shoulder injury late in the third quarter on that very same play. And so Detroit takes a 10-point lead. A 10-point lead in this one. Jamal Williams with a 13-yard touchdown rush puts Detroit up. Are you ready? 24-14 after three quarters. Now, I know this is in Minneapolis, but come on, Detroit. Got to have a little heart. Got to have a little toughness. Early in the fourth quarter, Minnesota gets a quick drive. I think Kirk Cousins deserves some of the credit for directing this drive. Alexander Mattison caps it with a 6-yard score, and they're within a couple of points. So then here's where the drama kind of devolves for Detroit. With under 90 seconds to go, the Lions try a 54-yard field goal on 4th and 1. Remember Sunday Night Football week number one? And afterwards, Dan Campbell says, I regret it. I hated it the second we did it. I should have kept the ball in the hands of my offense. He literally said that afterwards. And, of course, it underscores the point when the Lions miss the field goal and Minnesota then has a short field. All right, so I just want you to know, Dan Campbell's already backtracked and said, I never should have tried to kick the field goal. Instead, I should have gone ahead and given the ball back to Jared Goff, back to my offense, allow them to go for it. But Minnesota was already locked in.
Cousins out of the shotgun with no timeouts, trailing 24-21. Takes the snap, straight drop.
Baseball is everywhere you are this season with the MLB app. Enjoy the show from wherever you are when you download the free MLB app to your mobile device. Never miss a second of the action with coverage of in-game highlights, pitch-by-pitch features, select live broadcast coverage, and more. Show support for your favorite team with customizable MLB club-branded icons. And tune in to exclusive premium content for every team in the league.
That is out of the ballpark!
The MLB app is your ticket to all things baseball all the time. You can even get live notifications sent to your phone, watch, and car, so you're always up to date on the biggest breaking news, scores, and standings. The MLB app is your hub for live baseball everywhere you go. The number one source of live baseball on your Apple and Android devices is the official app of Major League Baseball. Download the MLB app today on the Apple App Store or Google Play.
Additional subscriptions may be required. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Forget front row seats. We're taking you into the action on the field and in the dugout with Season 2 of Play Loud. Follow some of the league's biggest stars as we mic them up and get the cameras rolling during some of the hottest matchups of the season. Catch real-time reactions from Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor in the field and catch all the hilarious conversations between players off the field with unprecedented access. Watch episodes of Play Loud at youtube.com/MLB. Play Loud brings you baseball like you've never seen before.
Get into all the Major League Baseball action with Season 2 of Play Loud, exclusively on the MLB YouTube channel. Forget front row seats. We're taking you into the game on the field and in the dugout during some of the hottest matchups of the season. Follow along and be part of the fun alongside some of the league's biggest stars as we mic them up and get the cameras rolling during some of the hottest matchups of the season.
That is out of the ballpark!
Catch real-time reactions from Juan Soto in the field or listen in on the hilarious conversation between Eduardo Escobar and Francisco Lindor in the dugout. Tune in for live reactions from players across the league with unprecedented access. Play Loud is your exclusive look into the fun of the game. You never know what you're going to see or hear. Play Loud. It's baseball like you've never watched before. Tune in for new episodes of Play Loud, only on the MLB YouTube channel.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
¿Te preocupas por tu familia? Entonces, ¿por qué darles solo huevos ordinarios cuando pueden disfrutar de lo mejor? Eggland's Best, los únicos huevos con ese delicioso sabor fresco de granja. Además de la mejor nutrición, como 6 veces más vitamina D, 10 veces más vitamina E y 25% menos de grasa saturada que los huevos regulares. Además de muchos otros nutrientes importantes. Así que, dales los mejores huevos. Eggland's Best. Mejor sabor, mejor nutrición, mejores huevos.
He's going to fire right. Yes! KJ Osborne! You're so cold-blooded! Touchdown! And the Vikings have taken a 27-24 lead.
And this place has woken up.
Cousins works out of the gun. Madison to his left. Cousins leans in. There's the snap. He's back. Cousins looks, throws. Got a man wide open. Touchdown. KJ Osborne. There was nobody with him. Defensive breakdown for the Lions with 45 seconds to go, and the Vikings have taken the lead.
These are the kind of games where you have to find the inches, and we were able to find them today. We'll have a lot to talk about and coach and take coaching tomorrow, but it's a lot more enjoyable to do that after a win.
You hear from Kirk Cousins there. It was an ugly victory, but a couple of touchdowns for him and 260 yards. So I don't know. I think he deserves a little bit of credit, especially on that go-ahead drive. In the final minute, he has a pair of deep balls to KJ Osborne, as you hear with Paul Allen first on Vikings radio, and then we give you the Dan Miller version on Lions radio. So the go-ahead score comes with 45 seconds to go. Then the Vikings pick off Jared Goff with the interception, 17 seconds left to seal it. But yeah, I mean, if you're going to blame Kirk Cousins for everything, then you probably should give him a little bit of credit when he directs a pair of fourth quarter drives. Again, Dan Campbell says he regrets going for that long field goal, wishes he would have kept the ball in the hands of his offense, and definitely this is one they wish they could have back.
Don't get frazzled by it. Now, I told him it should sting, you know. It shouldn't taste good. I mean, it, you know, because we had that. And I just told him we got to learn from it, man. We got to learn from the plays that bit us in the ass. And that, you know, there's going to be, as you know, I mean, you guys got a job to do, but there'll be a lot of criticism placed on a number of guys, myself and including the players, and which is natural. They all know it. And but, man, you can't go on the downs and ups. You know, last week it was really good. This week, you know, just stay true to what it is and learn from our mistakes and just – we got to go back to work Wednesday.
Hose over Dan Campbell. All the facial expressions and all the body language, he wears it. He wears every single one of these wins, every single one of these losses all the way through the season. I mean, this is a guy that's going to get old long before his time if he stays in coaching for
long. Don't get frazzled by it.
But I do appreciate that he is all in, and I mean all in, every part of him. It's like the hokey pokey. Put your whole self in. That's Dan Campbell. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Should the Lions be the most mortified on Monday? The poll up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. We're circling back to the top two teams right now in the NFL. I don't know that they're the best teams in the NFL, but they are the only 3-0 teams in the NFL. The Giants can join the Eagles and the Dolphins with a victory on Monday Night Football, so we shall see. But the way that Bills and Dolphins wrapped up is worth dissecting just a little bit. Now, keeping in mind that the Bills were losing players to dehydration, to cramps. There were defections all over the place. It's funny, there's a couple of fans, Bills fans, who kept writing to me about how the Bills had lost 6 starters, then 7, then 10. Then some guy actually wrote to me and said they lost 12 starters. Oh, okay, did they? They lost 12 starters on offense? Got it. Anyway, it was definitely a war of attrition in South Florida. The heat, the humidity, but the Dolphins were dealing with it too. And so when Tua Tagovailoa comes back in the second half after looking wobbly and leaving and apparently getting cleared from concussion protocol after that, well, it wasn't a hit by Matt Milano. It was a push. He falls backward. His head hits the turf. Both Tua and Mike McDaniel say that this was a back injury. It was not a head injury, which is why he was able to return for the second half, though the NFLPA has launched an investigation to be sure that there isn't any funny business with Tua's noggin. But even when he comes back, there's really nothing working for the Dolphins either until the fourth quarter. This is not 6 touchdowns and 600 yards of offense like they had against the Baltimore Ravens. This is completely different. Though you can kind of see a little bit of that connection that he has with Jalen Waddle and some of his other receivers. Chase Edmonds is able to get into the end zone for the go-ahead score with his second TD. So it was more about smash mouth. It was more about physical and grind and grit in this game as opposed to what we saw against Baltimore with that rally. But man, Buffalo can play the gritty game all day long, and they did. In the fourth quarter, get this, a 17-play drive that lasted more than 8 minutes, and both teams are so completely gassed as they're out there forever. So the offensive linemen, they're sucking wind. The Bills themselves are just exhausted, and the Dolphins are trying to hang on for dear life. They get all the way deep to the 2-yard line, and I don't know if it was the heat. I don't know if it was the exhaustion. Maybe it was just one bad pass. Josh Allen throws a ball at the feet of Isaiah McKenzie. It was really an uncatchable ball, and that's how the drive ends. 17 plays, 8 minutes and 19 seconds, and no points. Oy. I mean, that's painful in and of itself. But then we get some fun stuff at the end of this game. I don't know, have you heard anything at all about a butt punt? If you haven't, well, you're going to hear about it here on this Monday morning, Monday throughout, any NFL programming you watch or listen to. Oh, yeah, butt punt is coming up.
Morstead is in to punt. He's standing just inside the end zone.
That's how deep he is. The line of scrimmage isn't even the one. Fourth down, Jamison Crowder, the return man for Buffalo. Bills are out of timeouts. The snap to Morstead. This kick is partially blocked high into the air. The Bills, it'll sail out the back of the end zone. It's a safety. It's a safety. And the Bills had two on the board.
I've never seen a butt punt before, man, but I'm sure, you know, Trent is very, like, he's very smart, you know, like, so for him just to come to the sideline, you know, take ownership and all of that, you know, says exactly, you know, what kind of player he is, you know, so he's going to go into the film room, he's going to correct it, you know, and next time he's going to catch it with his butt cheeks because he got strong butt cheeks.
Leave it to Tyreek Hill to give us TMI about Trent Sherfield, who was the protector in front of Thomas Morstead. But he got too close. He got too deep and close to his punter. And Morstead had no place to kick. So when he kicks the ball, it bounces off the ass of Trent Sherfield.
I've never seen a butt punt before, man.
It was hysterical. Anyway, if you haven't seen it, it's out there on social. It's on our social, After Hours CBS. So it leads to a safety. Who knew? A butt punt in the end zone leads to a safety. Ultimately, Buffalo gets some time and has an opportunity, only trailing by two.
Second and 20. 18 seconds left. Allen. Oh. He goes down. No, he gets back up and tosses it to McKenzie, who's trying to get to the sideline, has to cut it back in and is tackled inbounds with 7 seconds left. Ingram, the tackle.
They're not going to get this off.
3, 2, 1. It's
they didn't
over.
Get it done.
It's over. Miami wins it. 21-19.
Could not get on the ball in time. That's going to do it. How about the effort of the Miami Dolphins defense today? Wow, what a stop.
It was definitely, as I say, gritty and gutty, and the defense, not the offense this week, as the Dolphins remain undefeated. That's the call on Dolphins radio. Before that, Bills radio, John Murphy as well. If you haven't seen it, I don't mean the butt punt. There's more. There's more delicious video from the end of this game after the Bills run out of time. So Isaiah McKenzie, he's not sure what to do. Should I get out of bounds? Should I get more yards? Should I get to the hash? He actually admits it afterwards. It was really the indecision. So they run out of time as you hear the countdown, and immediately the camera on, is it CBS, goes up to Ken Dorsey, in the offensive coach's box. And he is going ballistic. He's throwing tablets a la Tom Brady. He's throwing papers. He's throwing his headset until someone covertly puts a hand over the camera. And all of a sudden, we can't see it anymore. So check that out on Twitter, too. And we're back tonight after Monday Night Football. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
I'm Mandy Bell.
And I'm Sarah Langs.
We're reporters for MLB.com, and our new podcast, Fielding Questions, will explain why baseball players are so superstitious, what separates the best ballparks from the rest, and all those other things you always wanted to know about baseball. You know, the greatest sport in the world.
You can subscribe now on Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now you can enjoy MLB Play, the one app with all your favorite free MLB games. Enjoy Beat the Streak, Quick Pick, and more. Enjoy competing against friends. Enjoy unlocking exclusive rewards. Plus, your chance to win $5.6 million. Download MLB Play. Enjoy the app. Enjoy the show. MLB Play.
No purchase necessary. Must be 21 or older to enter Beat the Streak, which ends at the conclusion of the MLB regular season or when the grand prize is won. Restrictions apply. See MLB.com/play for official rules.
Get into all the Major League Baseball action with Season 2 of Play Loud, exclusively on the MLB YouTube channel. Forget front row seats. We're taking you into the game on the field and in the dugout during some of the hottest matchups of the season. Follow along and be part of the fun alongside some of the league's biggest stars as we mic them up and get the cameras rolling during some of the hottest matchups of the season.
That is out of the ballpark!
Catch real-time reactions from Juan Soto in the field or listen in on the hilarious conversation between Eduardo Escobar and Francisco Lindor in the dugout. Tune in for live reactions from players across the league with unprecedented access. Play Loud is your exclusive look into the fun of the game. You never know what you're going to see or hear. Play Loud. It's baseball like you've never watched before. Tune in for new episodes of Play Loud, only on the MLB YouTube channel.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.